Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For our radio audience tuning in at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also tuning in through online affiliates around the world, we're glad that you all could join us as well. But if you're ever looking for a story that will be able to inspire you, but also to motivate you to be your own best advocate for your health and life, I think you guys are going to really enjoy this next segment. We're excited to welcome author Rakesha Stewart to our broadcast. She wrote a book that I really found fascinating. It's called Sonata for a Damaged Heart. But I want you guys to listen to the subtitle, A Young Mother's Journey of Survival After a Near-Fatal Heart Attack. I want to talk to Rakesha not only about the reflection on her journey, but what it's been like for her now to be able to share it in this book, what she hopes readers are able to take away from it, not only about the importance of taking care of themselves, but also advocating for themselves as well. We're going to talk about that and how she discusses it in her book as well. If you guys are just now finding out about Sonata for a Damaged Heart, we'll let you know how to get your own copy of the book and stay connected with Rakesha as well. Rakesha, thank you again for stopping by. I really appreciate the time.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, Cyrus. I truly appreciate this.
Look, I appreciate your being able to share your story. I want to begin by talking about the subtitle of the book, A Young Mother's Journey of Survival After a Near-Fatal Heart Attack. Rakesha, what has it been like for you to be able to step back and to read that subtitle and to know that you're talking about yourself?
At moments, it is very surreal because at the time, I was 31 when I had my heart attack, and there are times now, I'm 43, and sometimes I just, it's weird that it happened to me. It's still sometimes very abstract because I think, wow, I was healthy, I have this life that I'm living now as opposed to what happened to me back then. I was able to turn things around, but it really was a journey, a true journey of survival for myself.
Right. And the whole idea of it's so interesting. I what I love about doing this job, Rakesha, I have to say, is that I get to, of course, talk to fascinating individuals like yourself, but also when it comes to books like this, to be able to get to know you in ways that I wouldn't. Because I say that to say, people would look at you today and would not know. I mean, that's saying, especially big here in the South, I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. You are the epitome of that in so many ways, I think, for people. Do you find that does kind of embody how people see you today and what you have gone through?
Well, I hope so, because I am the new face of heart disease. I am the new face of what could possibly be, maternal mortality. This is me. I survived it. And, you know, a lot of people will think, oh, well, you know, heart attacks happen to people who are in the 60s, 70s, 80s. It can't happen to me. No, it can. And I am a relatable person. I was 2 weeks postpartum when I had my heart attack. People don't know that things like that can happen. Women don't realize that, yes, it can happen to you too. You can be healthy. You can be doing all the things that you're supposed to be doing, and it happened to you. And one of the things that I find fascinating is people will look at me and say, well, you don't look sick. You know, what have you really gone through? Well, you know, sometimes our scars aren't visible on the outside. We wear our scars internally. And that's exactly what I've done. That's what I've been doing. And I like to speak about it so that people can acknowledge that when you look at someone, you don't know the journey that they've been on. You don't know all the things that they've been through. And it's also a sense of camaraderie to say, yes, look at me. I am like you. You can be like me. It can happen to anyone. You know, heart disease, it knows no age. It knows no race. It knows no gender, even though it does affect some minority populations more than others, and women now more than men. But across the board, these incidents are rising. Younger and younger women and men are being affected by heart disease. So we can no longer say, oh, you know, that's that's an issue for my grandmother or my grandfather. No, it's not.
And I think there are so many things. In fact, there when you were just talking just now, Wakisha, I thought about a conversation in the book with Sharonda, where you were having a panic attack, and it was in that moment, of course, that you know that you told Sharonda that you had had a heart attack the year previous, and that you know that things could trigger. And her, I had made a note of the comment that you, what you wrote in the book where she said, "But you're so young." You know, mm-hmm. I think that is the thing that people don't get. And throughout this book, what I thought about, too, is that it is your story, but you've been able to take your story, Wakisha, and to be able to add, of course, some important statistics in here as well. Let's just take Chapter 9 of the book. It starts with, "It's all in your head." But before you get into it, going into 2017, you share this fact. Cardiovascular disease claims the lives of more black women than all forms of cancer, accidents, assault, and Alzheimer's disease combined. Did you realize when you were writing the book that it was your story? Yes. But it was a bigger story, too.
Oh, yes, definitely. When I did become a nurse, one of the reasons why I became a nurse is because a nurse saved my life. And I recognized that my survival, or the reason for my survival, is because I needed to share this story. I realized that it needed to be spread. Awareness is something that I stand behind, because there are so many women who have lost their lives before me, and it would be a travesty to them and their families for me not to make it bigger than myself. You know what I mean? It has to be something that everyone talks about, because it can happen to anyone. And when I decided to write the book, it was because I had other women reach out to me as I was speaking as a Go Red for Women national spokesperson in 2022, sharing my story. They said, "Oh, wow, thank you. Thank you for sharing. I didn't know, or this happened to a friend of mine. I'm going to let her know." You know, it knows no bounds. So it had to be something bigger than myself, because it's not just me. It affected my family, affected my friends. And then you have to shed some light on the issues that women in general are facing, especially black women today are facing, because they still don't know. It's something that doctors don't tell pregnant women about. You know, everyone wants to say, "Oh, pregnancy is great, it's blissful." I did not have that experience with any of my pregnancies. But there is power in education and awareness, and I am a firm believer in that. And that's one of the reasons why I am such a big advocate for women's health, because everyone needs to know.
Right. You mentioned becoming a nurse. There's another layer of this story as well, though, Wakisha, that you address. Again, all of this I'm learning as I was reading the book, because I went into it thinking just about your story and what you survived, but not realizing, of course, what you also experience. And one of the things that you talk about in the book is something a lot of people, again, can relate to, and that is the red tape of even the medical, you know, the medical profession, and what can be sometimes doctors, nurses feeling like their hands are tied, you know, being in that struggle with what's best for the patient and what people, you know, are willing to do or want to do. What was that like for you to share? Because I think that's a frustration that a lot of people can relate to, of, you know, knowing what needs to be done, but also having people around you who are willing to do what needs to be done for the person, for the patient.
Well, in my book, I do talk about how it was a nurse that saved my life. If it weren't for her recognizing and looking at me as an individual and seeing all my symptoms together, I wouldn't be here with you today. So I decided to become a nurse because I recognized that there was a need for advocacy. There was a need for other people to stand up for those who couldn't speak up for themselves. And I am a firm believer in that. People need to be well aware of themselves, their bodies, but they also need to feel like they can trust our healthcare providers. You know, it's hard for me sometimes to look back at that instance, because there's so many times that evening where if I were a more timid woman, if I didn't understand my body, like I said, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
It's important for people to not only know themselves, but know their family history. It's important for them to understand that when you go into a facility, not everyone knows everything about you. There's going to be assumptions made about you, and you have to be able to get around those obstacles. You have to make your voices heard, because no one will fight harder for your life than you. And I often tell people, look, physicians, they don't know everything. Nurses, we don't know everything. It's up to the patient to really be the captain of their healthcare team and to find providers that are going to be on their team and not against them, people who are going to listen to them, not, dismiss them. When it comes to being a Black woman especially, we are seen as being dramatic or loud, and I'm neither of those things. But when it comes to fighting for my life, yeah, I'm going to be loud. I'm going to be dramatic because I want to be heard. And this is across the board for all women. They all should be just as dramatic. Unfortunately, we have an institution in which women are dismissed. Women are less likely to receive hands-only CPR. We're less likely to be transported with sirens on if there's a medical emergency. When we do go to the hospital, we wait 30% longer to receive any sort of treatment. And these are very disturbing facts,
right.
And that's what they are. They're facts. There needs to be radical change within the healthcare system, and as a nurse, I've seen it. As a patient, I've experienced it. So for all individuals, it's important, and I implore everyone to read up on their facts, understand what they're going through, what their body is doing. Speak with their physicians, go to your, annual checkups, because it could really be the matter of life and death. And for community in general, we have to start speaking to each other about our past, about our family history, about what we're experiencing. I think I, along with many other women, I have that superwoman syndrome where I think I can handle everything, and I can't. We have to depend on other people. It's very, very important because our health depends on it. And if we don't make time for our health will steal time from us.
Well, Keisha, I want to talk to you about what you share in the book about sharing your story. And it is, before I get into that, I want to ask you this question, because I just thought about it when you were just talking. Had writing a book ever come to you before this all happened?
No, actually. Not at all. I was the girl in school who I did not like to speak in front of people. I was, in the background. I was a people watcher, and I would write for myself, journal entries. But never in a million years did I ever have the aspirations of becoming an author. It wasn't until I had this experience and then many years later when I finally accepted what happened to me and I was able to speak on it that my husband and my mother actually said, you should write a book. You should let people know the ins and outs of what it is that they need to experience, because it's not talked about. And even still, I have some family and friends who, when I reveal something, they'll say, that happened to you? Really? And I'm just thinking, you've known me for how long? How many speeches have I done? How could you not know this? But, people see what's in front of them unless you make them. And this book is something that I want to force people to see so that they can recognize themselves in it, so they can recognize what's happening. They can maybe even, you know, give it to someone else who might be going through the same thing. But no, writing a book, when I was younger, I was going to be a background dancer for Janet Jackson and a psychiatrist. That was going to be my
Well, it's so interesting that because the reason what I was going to say before I thought about that question was you talk about in the book when you started sharing your story and started getting the responses, and you say in the book, talking about yourself, I've made a difference, my life matters. How does that feel to know that just by your communicating, by your sharing your story, that your story could literally save lives?
It is the most amazing, the most incredible gift. I'm going to say gift because I'm here and I'm able to provide someone else with information that can save them. And it is a gift. Life is a gift. When you go through something like I went through and you're able to come through it, you're able to come on the other side and look back and be grateful for your life, it is a gift. Nothing is guaranteed. I've told my husband says that I am overly altruistic, but it's because deep down I truly want to help people. So this is probably the biggest achievement that I will ever have in my whole entire life, is to help on this level.
Wow. Well, you definitely are doing that. Again, everyone, Wakesha Stewart has been our guest. The book is Sonata for a Damaged Heart, A Young Mother's Journey of Survival After a Near-Fatal Heart Attack. And we should let our audience know, Wakesha, not only do you talk about what you went through with the heart attack, but also dealing with the aftermath of that and COVID as well, which shows up in the book, and what your challenges were during that period as well. So we definitely encourage our audience to get it. It's available both in paperback or the Kindle edition through our friends at Amazon.com. As well, of course, you can be able to order it from your favorite bookstore, too. Wakesha, congratulations to you again. Glad to have you on the broadcast. How can our audience stay connected with you?
Yes, thank you for having me, Cyrus, and the audience. If they look up Kisha, that's K-I-S-H-A and A-N-D, SCAD, S-C-A-D, Kisha and SCAD, you can find me on Instagram. You'll also find my website of the same name, KishaandSCAD.com, as well as on Facebook. You can look up Kisha Stewart or Kisha and SCAD there as well.
All right. Well, congratulations to you again, Wakesha, and looking forward to our next chat together.
Thank you so much, Cyrus. I appreciate you having me on today.
Hey, glad to do it. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Make sure you guys do stay connected with Wakesha, as well as, of course, make sure you guys are following us on the podcast side of our program. We look forward to talking with you all again real soon. Take care.